Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
To Daily Pop. There is a nasty battle brewing in Hollywood. It's the OG cast of Charmed versus the new stars, and things are getting a wee bit ugly. Ooh. Let's just say it's a good thing Holly Marie Combs and newcomer Sarah Jeffrey don't actually have superpowers. The battle seems to stem from a video of Holly and her Charmed co-star Rose McGowan. In the video, Rose says the reboot sucks.
Wow.
Before admitting she hasn't seen it. Sarah fired back, saying, "I find it sad and quite frankly pathetic to see grown women behaving this way," adding, "I truly hope they find happiness elsewhere and not in the form of putting down other women of color." Mm. Well, the story continues. Holly did not take those accusations lightly, responding that some BS, people speaking derogatory accusations of a person's character despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary because of a difference in opinions about a TV show is just plain wrong. Mm. Drama, drama, drama. Whose side are you on?
Oh my God, this is a mess. I mean, listen, here's the thing. Charmed was on television for like a million years. We all watched it on the WB when we got home from school. I understand her point about not wanting the show to continue because she feels like she was a part of something great and she feels like she doesn't want to be recreated because she worked hard at something and sort of built the franchise for other people to quote unquote maybe like piggyback off of. But like, we're in the era of reboots. Like, this is what's happening. And you had your time, you know, make way for new girls to come along and have jobs and make it their own. So that's just sort of part of the game. She shouldn't be so affected by it. I feel like we're in the Mondrian with this background music, by the way. Are you like
right?
Loving it? Yeah.
It's a lot. Like, I almost took my earpiece out.
Yeah.
Oh
my God. I'm like, are we in South Beach? Oh.
I don't agree with you. I think that if, you know, Holly Marie Combs looked a little bitter. She looked a little bit like she
I
was
think she
not,
looked bitter.
Like, happy about the reboot. If you would have just let her go on her tangent and let her words be out there, she would have looked jealous. Mm. Now, the fact that you came back and you hit back at her, you're just starting something that didn't need to be started, and you took it a little bit too far. You said, you know, woman taking out another woman of color. Like, I
right.
don't even see the first woman of color on
right.
the board. Like, who's
right.
fighting? And I don't like when people make it about race when it's not about race.
It was kind of like a low jab.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, I thought Alyssa Milano handled it best. So she was also, of course, asked about the reboot, and her response was much more democratic, but it was like, look, if they do it and it's success, then great. More people get to see the beauty of what Charmed was. But if mm-hmm. it's a failure, then it's a chalk up to you can't mess what was great. I'm paraphrasing, that's not her exact words, but I was like,
yeah,
that's how the attitude should be. Like, you know, bring awareness to it, an amazing new, you know, reboot
yeah.
of this legendary show, or watch it sink and burn. But really, like, you don't have, it doesn't take anything away from the success you had.
100%.
It does, but just what you said, though, it does, for her to comment so negative about something does make her seem bitter, and she should almost be above that, right? But I understand wanting to protect something. I mean, how many times did they try to reboot Rich Kids of Beverly Hills with a new cast? And like, we were always like kind of anticipating that happening, not comparing the shows at all. But I'm just saying, you do feel a little territorial of something that you've been a part of that's been, you know, groundbreaking on some level, and you don't want other people to get to kind of reap the rewards of that. But
let's say Real Housewives, or sorry, not Real Housewives, Rich Kids did get rebooted with a whole
yes.
new cast.
Yes.
Do you feel like you're expected to be supportive of it and say and give your well wishes? Do you feel that expectation?
I mean, I would publicly, and then I would talk about it to Justin and be like, I hate those people or whatever. Like, I wouldn't cause. I mean, other people on the show might say. Other people on the show might say, listen. You know, I don't think they could do a good job or they're not going to fill the shoes. I mean, there would have been one catty remark, but this just feels like, I don't know, kind of just random.
Yeah, it does this feel kind of random. And then you're still loving the disco, the dance.
Is the Molly about to hit? What is happening this morning?
I love it. Okay, well, let's move on because there's another story I also want to talk about. So there are a lot of perks of being Jessica Alba's kid, but privacy apparently is not one of them. Jessica joined Ashley Graham on the Smith family on Facebook's Red Table Talk, and she revealed she spies on her kids.
Oh. Now I spy on them. Now I have cameras in all their rooms, so I actually can really
was that noise actually
justify what the heck is going on. But I really thought I was losing it until I started surveilling them.
Are you ever going to take the cameras out of their room?
Honor was like, Mom, you know, I'm 12 now. Like, don't you think it's awkward? And I'm like, well, you shouldn't be doing anything, you know, in your bedroom. You have a whole closet to dress in, and you have your bathroom for your private time. And so what are you doing in your room? What, you think you're going to sneak somebody in? Somehow I'm still getting away with it, but I think this might be the last year.
Oh, my gosh. I think this would definitely be the last year if it's just my personal opinion. Everybody mm-hmm. can raise their kids how they want, but
I don't know.
12 seems a little...
First of all, it's not spying if they know that the cameras are there.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest, if I'm paying the bills and my name's on the mortgage and you aren't contributing anything to it.
Oh my gosh, well, you can't hold that over to your children's lives, their whole
your 12-year-old child's life.
You have to give them some sort of independence, some sort of trust. Mm. However, I will say I'm not going to knock because I don't know her parenting style and I don't know like the relationship she has with her daughter. Maybe she says, honey, go to bed at 8 o'clock and she knows that her daughter's sitting there on the iPad till 10 o'clock and so this is her way of being like, I see you on the iPad, put it away, go to bed. Maybe it's something as simple as that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do think there comes a point where you have to tell your children, and maybe she's getting there, maybe next year she's going to do this, but you say, I trust you. I believe that if I tell you to do something at 8 o'clock, you're going to show me that you can do that because I'm giving you that right to try to do that. You have to give them some sort of independence.
No, next year she hides the camera.
Agreed.
Is what she does. You have to hide the camera. This is teaching kids how to be crafty. Though, if you want to get away with something, you can't just get away with it. You got to think about it. You got to put a plan in place. You got to have mm-hmm. a motivation. I think this is going to help her kids. And in the long run, she's guaranteeing herself that none of her kids are going to stay in the house after 18. They're going to have to get a job. They're going to have to fend for themselves. Yeah. This is a good tactic.
Yeah. Remember Todd Chrisley? He literally still spies on his children. And they're in their 20s now.
Yeah.
Some of them are even older. And he is very proud of that fact. Morgan, do you have any clue how you're going to be as a mother as far as these things go?
Oh, my God. I'm really just focusing on the pushing things out at this point. I like going beyond that thought is a little bit daunting, but I think you hit it for me, Carissa, when you just said independence. I really want to just raise my daughter to be strong and independent and obviously, you know, build some sort of trust rapport where I feel like I can let her make decisions on her own. I don't think I'm going to have a camera in her room at 12. I don't feel like that would be my personal approach. But again, like you said, I'm not going to knock anyone's parenting style, especially not being a parent yet. So if that works for them, that's great. I don't think I'm going to do that. I think baby monitor until she's 3 and then we're going to be done with that.
Did you say baby monitor until she's 30?
30, she's going to be out doing God knows what.
Yeah, if she's a little mini Morgan, who knows?
Oh, my God, 30. I'm going to be so old then.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, moving on.
Next, you guys, is Claire Crawley making an early exit on The Bachelorette? Justin is grilling her for the truth, and what she says is surprising. And still ahead, our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month with new interviews from the biggest Latin stars like J Balvin and CNCO. Don't go anywhere, you guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. You look very handsome.
Thank you. I'm a hugger, so I've got a big hug for you.
I needed this. Oh, I needed this so bad.
You have no idea.
Can you believe that? We're finally here, right?
We've waited a long time.
Yeah, it's wild. So, Claire, my name is Dale.
Nice to meet you, Dale.
While it's been a long time coming, I couldn't be more excited to take this journey with you. And
awesome.
I really do feel this is going to be special.
I agree. I definitely feel like I just met my husband.
Whoa, finally we got to see Claire's major chemistry with Dale on last night's season premiere of The Bachelorette. Justin, you spoke with Claire. Do you think she actually found the one?
Well, after watching this again, I just realized that Claire hadn't touched anybody in months. We've been in a pandemic. So to hug a dude who's a little bit taller than you will make you feel like you found the one.
That helps.
Yeah, but you know what? We can't deny their chemistry was off the charts. But here's what she said when I asked her point blank about the rumors that she actually leaves the show early.
Oh.
We all heard that you leave halfway through the season. Is it true? Do you leave the compound? Do we get a second Bachelorette in the middle of all of this?
I can tell you this. I did not leave the compound. I stayed and saw my journey through the end of my journey.
Are you happy with the outcome?
1,000%.
Holy we're getting a Claire Crowley wedding. I can feel it.
We shall see. Hopefully one day, right?
Ooh.
She got married.
You think she got married?
I think she found somebody. I don't think it's Dale.
She answered very specifically. She's like, I left at the end of my journey. That doesn't mean she stayed till the end of what was supposed to be the end of filming.
True. And in the super tease, we do see somebody in a white dress, but that could be anything, right?
Yeah,
The Bachelor's so good at, like, making you think something happens, but they could have played dress up for a date or something. But a lot of people are saying that Dale, you know, isn't who she thinks. You see that a lot. He's not who she thinks he is. So I feel like we're all going to think it's Dale.
That's what I keep on saying.
And then it's going to explode in our face.
That's what I keep on saying.
And she's going to hate Dale.
That's what I keep on saying. And I'm not following
that.
In reality, Steve. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, don't go there.
Don't go there
don't
because
go there,
it's
going
to ruin it for you. I'm not doing it.
Okay. Don't miss the rest of Justin's interview with Claire. It's going to be next week on Daily Pop. All right. Nicole Kidman has won an Oscar, 2 Emmys, and 5 Golden Globes. But there is one thing she missed out on. In a new interview with Marie Claire, Nicole admits she really wanted Julia Roberts' role in Notting Hill, but says she wasn't well-known enough or, quote, talented enough. Not talented enough?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know
Nicole
what?
Kidman.
I think back in the cut, when Nicole Kidman was first, like, starting out and getting her feet wet in America, I think Julia Roberts was that actress. She was that you know, bubbly, you know, rom-com queen. So she couldn't compete with that. But I will say, being a great actor is knowing your strengths. And Nicole Kidman understood her strengths and still understands her strengths, that leading that kind of movie was not her jam.
Right. It's all about timing.
Right. It's hard for me to even imagine the movie without Julia Roberts. I mean, Nicole Kidman, I think, would probably have been fine. But, you know, our producers brought up a good point. Rebecca in the meeting today was just saying, like, you know, you don't see Nicole doing a lot of rom-coms. Like, trying to be, like, cute and funny. I mean, I think she totally could do it, but isn't, like you said, her strength.
It's not her steez. It's like if Tom
Cruise. Maybe it's just because we haven't seen it.
We haven't seen her in it, but it really, it just goes back to, like, it's timing, right? Like, that was not meant for her at that time. It's just like when I tried out for Daily Pop the first time, Justin, and that was a disaster. Like, things come around when they're supposed to.
That's because you were too busy flirting with everybody in the dressing room.
Do you think that you can say things like this about me now? Because clearly what's happened. Do we think this is good for me? But back to my really amazingly sophisticated conversation about timing. It wasn't her time yet.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but it also wasn't her path. I feel like Nicole Kidman took the more serious roles and the more serious, like, stake in Hollywood, and it worked out for her. I think what problem comes in Hollywood is that everybody thinks they can do everything.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if Tom Cruise would have done a comedy?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have worked for him. He wouldn't be the person he is today had he just diverged a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love Notting Hill. It's one of my favorite movies, so I am kind of happy how it turned out.
It worked out how it was supposed to.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, 13 years of keeping up with the Kardashians, from sibling rivalries to pole dancing. We're going to look back at their craziest moments. Plus, you've got to hear what they confessed in the very beginning. Those lost interviews are next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's hard to believe, but Keeping Up with the Kardashians premiered 13 years ago today. Of course, we were with them right before the show hit the air. So let's throw it back to 2007.
Oh my God, I'm so old.
Keep Up with the Kardashians on E! We love you. If you can keep up with us. I think they pretty much captured our real personalities.
Of course, it's all about Kim. Kim, Kim, Kim.
It's still like nerve-wracking, you know, the show coming out, but I'm really excited.
You know what, Chloe?
When it comes to breakups, it ain't happening here.
I come off kind of crazy on the show.
It's really a lot of fun. I think everybody will really enjoy it. We're very family-oriented, so I want that to come across strongly.
I get to express my opinion. They don't take it, you know, but I at least express it.
Oh, my so God. Good. How did you learn how to do that?
See you later.
Oh, yay, song!
I know.
Cameras are always in my home, though, at all times. Kardashians, we love cameras.
At first, you think that, you know, you won't really get used to the cameras, and then you kind of just forget they're there, and we're just kind of hanging out.
I think that in our family, we definitely bitch at each other a lot.
She said you have a lot of junk in your trunk.
I meant outside in your car. There's some stuff in your car we need to get out.
I hate you all, but we really, really are really close. We love each other. We're a very, very close family.
Get it, honey?
That's it. We're done.
So cute. 13 years ago. That's crazy. Okay.
Crazy.
Time for a little would you do it. All right. So for $390, you can have a bottle of Brad and Angelina's new rosé champagne. But unlike the photo, Brad's not included.
Oh.
It's just $390. Would you pay that much for champagne?
I would pay that much. After reading this much about the champagne this morning and the process and the sommelier that was involved and like what it's like, what they said it's like grapefruit and all of these things, I would buy it. It sounded delicious. But maybe also because I haven't had any alcohol for a long time, so.
And maybe also because you have a very large bank account?
Yeah.
This is not allowed, Rebecca. It's not allowed.
That's awesome.
I don't know.
It was a splurge.
$3.90 on some champs, but we're actually going to try it here on the show tomorrow and let them buy it.
Oh, yes.
So, yes.
There you go.
Do they know that yet?
They know now.
They know.
Okay, good. I'm glad we declared that. Kristen, because I would like to try it. I just don't want to pay for it. Kristen Bell always keeps it real, but the secret she just revealed on the Ellen DeGeneres show may have been a little TMI.
Bring me something you recently ordered on Amazon.
It's for peeing in the car. It's a female urination device.
I see it.
What?
I literally just talked to a celebrity the other day about how she ordered two of those for her road trip with her kids.
What?
It was, yes.
Yeah, people a lot of people have it. Yeah.
Just because, like, Corona, they don't want to go into a gas station bathroom?
Or
exactly.
They don't want to have to, yes, they don't want to have to stop at a random gas station. They're just doing it on the side of the road.
Much. That's too much. So you just, like, what if it leaks? What if it spills? And then you got the smell. And then what do you do with it after you've peed? You just have it sitting there?
I'm sorry, you've had two children. You have seen worse on a Tuesday than most have seen in a lifetime.
I'm saying, though,
that's
a grown woman pees a whole lot more than a little two-year-old, okay? The amount of liquid, depending on what you're drinking, especially.
This whole conversation is, like, acidic for me right now. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
I just pee on the side of the road like a normal person.
Yeah, just squat. Mm-hmm. Then you get the public pee, you get public charge.
And you get the workout.
All right, well, let's look at this. LeBron James just invested in some new real estate, a custom mini mansion for his six-year-old daughter. It's right in his backyard.
Oh.
The basketball star shared this over the weekend, said that it was a birthday gift. So would you buy this?
I think this is actually a two-for-one. Uh-huh. I think when LeBron and his wife get in a fight and she puts him on the couch, he doesn't like it. So he just bought himself a mini little man cave. That mm-hmm. thing has AC in it. It has a refrigerator.
It does, but I saw the couch. There's no way the tall LeBron James can fit on that damn couch.
He'll figure it out.
His foot can fit on it. But it is the cutest thing in the world. And let's all be real. Like, if we had that money, like, that would be, like, the best thing ever to be able to give your daughter. I mean, it's, like, so cool.
Totally.
It's like, just the light on her face, like, no big deal. This is my little playhouse that's, like, a mansion. Look at her, like, scrubbing the floors, taking such pride in it. Oh, it's so cute.
That's the biggest.
Very cute.
That's, like, as big as my house.
I know.
Literally.
That's true. Okay, Eminem has tons of fans, but none more dedicated than a woman in Scotland who just set the world record for the most tattoos of the same musician. 35-year-old Nikki Patterson has 15 tattoos of the rapper and plans to get more in the future.
Oh.
Would you ever get tattooed with your favorite musician?
Hard pass for me. Nope, nope, nope.
I'm going to be honest, y'all. I've watched Eminem in this game for 20 years. I've seen him on red carpets. I've seen him on magazines. He makes the same face every single time. So you have 15 tattoos of Eminem making the same face?
And what's that face? Show us.
Like, he's just not here for it. It's like, I don't understand.
Wait, they didn't get to see it. Show it again. Show the Eminem face. There it is. That is
a good
Eminem face. Mm. No, I would never get person's face on my body.
No.
Ever.
No.
So. No. Okay. After the break, you guys, we're so excited. Daily Pop is celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. We have Liliana, Victor, and Aaron. They're all going to be joining Justin, and they're going to be hanging with J Balvin, CNCO, and so much more. It's going to be a party, so stick around. We'll be right back.
Yo. Welcome back to Daily Pop. Now, for the rest of the hour, we are celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, and I'm joined by my friends, Liliana Vasquez, Victor Cruz, and here with me in studio is Aaron Lim and that giant rock.
Yeah!
I can see it from here. I can see it from here.
I can't.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of cooking, in just a minute, we'll be hearing from some of the hottest stars in Latin music, like J Balvin and Rosalia. And of course, we're cooking up some delicious Latin cuisine, honey. But first, Victor, did you make it back safe? I saw that you were in Mexico.
You ain't gotta shout me out like that. Yes, I made it back safely. My brother had a wedding in Cancun. It was great. We was dancing. We were on boats. We were having a good time, all safe as we can. But yeah, we were having a good time. My brother is now a married man.
Nice.
Aw, congratulations.
So does that mean you're next?
We got a show. We got a program here, Jess. Let's keep it rolling. We got a program.
We have all the time in the world, Victor.
Don't do me like that, Lily. Don't do me like that.
Let's get into Hispanic Heritage Month. I want to know, why do you guys think that it's important for us to celebrate Hispanic heritage?
I mean, it's important because this culture, our culture, is adopted all over the world. And it's not just one culture. There are so many countries that represent Hispanic heritage. You know, we've got, there's South America, Central America. It's like all over. And I feel like, you know, it's our moment to celebrate and to share what we are all about. You know, there's food, there's music,
yes,
there's dancing, there's, you know, our familial values. And I think it's awesome that when you go to other places around the world, you will see Mexican food or Peruvian food,
yeah,
or Puerto Rican food. And we are so ingrained in the fabric of America as well. So I love that we get our moment to celebrate it.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree with
and
Aaron.
I also want to point out, oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Lily, do your thing with your lovely pink top.
No, Thank you. It's a dress. For me, it's so funny because it is Hispanic Heritage Month in my house every damn day. It never stops. Just let's be clear on that. But what I think it's important is because it brings awareness and attention to all of the incredible success and splendor and achievements of the Latinx community in the United States. And so often we're underrepresented, we're overlooked. So I think this is a time for everyone else to like come and be part of the Latino gang. And yes, you can have piñatas outside of your birthday. That was me hitting like a Santa Claus piñata in someone's backyard when I was growing up. So I think that's so fun because I do think that the rest of the world and the U.S. gets to celebrate what is so beautiful and diverse about this incredibly rich culture.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I have to ask you, Victor, you're half Black and half Puerto Rican, and you're raising a daughter. Why is it important for you to celebrate not only this month, but your heritage as a whole?
Yeah, it's very important for me because, you know, when I was growing up, I got both sides of it, right? I was very much embedded in the Black side and my Black culture and my Black family. And I was heavily involved, obviously, in my Latin side, as you can see in these photos. Wow, I look really young. Those were the memories and those were the things that I understood. Like bringing, you know, my grandmother, those relationships. I want to make sure that my daughter has those same relationships and those same experiences coming from a Latin household like I did. My grandmother danced every single day in the living room from 2 o'clock to like 10 p.m. It was just a thing. It's just what she did. So now when we're here, we have dance offs all the time, and she likes to dance the salsa more than I do, believe it or not. But I just want to teach her those values. And I think Aaron hit it right on the head with those values and those core values and teaching them that.
Yeah.
That's what the Hispanic culture and heritage does. And that's what I want to pass along to my daughter.
I love that.
I want to ask you really quick, Victor and Lily, all three of us are biracial and we come from different cultures.
Yeah.
I'm Filipino and Mexican, and sometimes I would feel a little bit of an identity crisis where it's like, you know, it's like what Selena's father said, like, you're not Mexican enough for the Americans, you're not American enough for the for the Americans. And so it's like, you know, I always felt that I wasn't Mexican enough for the Mexicans, I wasn't Filipino enough for the Filipinos, but here
hard.
I am, born in America, my mom is third generation Los Angelino, so she is Latina American, like, she is, like, L.A. is in our body, and we are Mexican American. But did you guys ever feel like that?
That's a good question.
Totally, 100%. And I think that happens a lot, especially like I'm half Mexican and half Puerto Rican. And I can tell you there were some throwdowns in my house because culturally, Mexicans and Puerto Ricans are really different. The food, the music, the customs, the culture.
Yes.
And so I loved that I grew up with two really distinct cultures, but I think it's been so fun for me to be part of both of those cultures. Growing up, I grew up in a very like white high school and middle school, and I was like one of the only Latinx kids there. And I totally identify with what Aaron said. You're always feeling like you're not quite enough. And one of the things that I think we also use is we use language against each other. Like, I can't tell you how many of my friends say, oh, well, I don't speak Spanish, so I don't feel as Latina as somebody that does speak Spanish in the home. And I think we gotta do away with that. Language is language. It doesn't make you any less or any more connected to who you are and your culture. So I think as Latinos, we just need to be more accepting of each other and stop saying, oh, well, she doesn't speak Spanish or she's second generation. Like, it's important that we stand together and unite as a culture. So important.
No, 100%. I agree with Lily. But for me, more so, it was, I saw it with my friendships, right? Like, I had my group of Black friends and I had my group of Spanish friends. Those two friends were never mingling together. And that was the part that I didn't understand until I got older. I was like, why? Whenever I was telling my Black friends that I was going to hang out with my Spanish friends, they were like, all right, man, I'll catch you on the flip side. Hit me when you get back. And vice versa. And it was just really, I struggled with that as a kid. And then it wasn't until later where I understood or tried to understand why the two didn't get along as much. And that really affected me when I was young because I couldn't party with both of my friends. I felt like divided, like I was split between two people, you know?
Yeah, ooh, I have so much to process at this next commercial break, but you guys, still ahead, we're hearing from Grammy winner Rosalía, plus the other rising Latin stars you have to keep your eye on, and you do not want to miss J Balvin. That's all coming up.
Welcome back, you guys. We are celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month on Daily Pop, and they wanted me to do the whole block in Spanish, but I will not torture you because it would take 25 minutes for me to get through one read.
We'd love to see it.
But you guys,
I want to hear it.
Shut up, Victor. We've got to talk about some young, powerful women coming up in this music world.
Yeah, there's Carol G and Nati Natasha. They're just some of the ladies spicing up your playlist, and one rising star even caught Madonna's eye.
Ooh.
Dicen una estrella, una figura.
Everything is coming up, Rosalía. And she's bringing flamenco to a whole new generation. Last year, the 27-year-old was featured in Time Magazine's Next Generation Leaders, the only musician to do so. She's considered a rule-defying renegade for blending a modern vibe with traditional flamenco sounds seamlessly. She also recorded both Los Angeles and El Mal Querer without the help of a record label. Her hard work and talent haven't gone unnoticed. Gigi Hadid was caught fangirling out at a Rosalía concert. And Madonna even asked her to sing at her birthday party.
I wasn't expecting that all these people, they knew my songs.
But Rosalía isn't the only Latin female force to be reckoned with. Sorry, Cardi, we love you and your latest song with Anita. But it's time to talk about the most watched female artist on YouTube, fellow Dominicana Nati Natasha. Her hit Muy Criminal has racked up billions of views, and her album Illuminati had the biggest opening week by a woman on the Latin charts since Shakira's El Dorado in 2017. Nati has also brought the heat with artists like Becky G, Daddy Yankee, Pitbull, and Bad Bunny. Carol G, aka our Colombian queen, is another Latina taking over our playlist. In 2018, Carol took home a Latin Grammy for Best New Artist, and she's earned herself 4 nominations this year. Pero si le ponen la canción. Her song Tusa, featuring Nicki Minaj, is up for a Record and Song of the Year, and we love it just as much as... Sofia Reyes has given us life with catchy bilingual songs like 1-2-3, featuring Jason Derulo and De La Ghetto. The rising star then kicked it up a notch with the help of Rita Ora and Anita.
I want to sing in Spanish, I want to sing in English, I feel like music has no boundaries.
R.I.P. includes Spanish, English, and Portuguese lyrics, and the hook gives off all kinds of Selena Quintanilla vibes.
Oh, y'all can't take me out with that song. There it is. I love these girls. You know, I feel for so long Latin music has been a boys' club, but these girls are reigning right now. All right, well, J Balvin has made music magic with some of the best, including Cardi B, Pharrell, and even Beyonce. The reggaeton singer has successfully crossed over into the mainstream, and he told me which big star he wants to team up with next.
Right now is a beautiful moment that people really are loving our culture. Tú me tienes loco,
loco contigo. Colombian-born artist J Balvin is the prince of reggaeton. I said I like it like that. With 4 Latin Grammys, 5 Billboard Latin Music Awards, and more than 35 million records sold, he's currently one of the best-selling Latin music artists.
You continue to pave the way for this whole new generation, both in reggaeton and in Latin music.
We're still growing up. We still have a lot of things to do.
Jose not only made history becoming Lollapalooza's first Latino headliner, he also brought the reggaeton heat to Coachella alongside Beyonce. Mi música los tiene fuerte bailando y se baila así. You probably also saw him at the Super Bowl with his Latino gang, J-Lo, Shakira, and Bad Bunny.
I always love when you shout out the Latino gang, like in every song. Latino gang, Latino gang, Latino gang. Who's in the Latino gang, and how do you get invited?
Just the fact that you're Latino and you just want to, you know, elevate yourself, basically everybody in the world. And even if you're not Latino, if you vibe with us, just say you make part of the Latino gang, you know, like this is about inclusion.
For his latest collaboration, Jay's shaking things up and partnering with McDonald's through November 1st.
So let's go through the J Balvin meal.
First of all, Big Mac, no pickles.
What do you have against pickles?
No, we tried to get along, but it never worked out. Medium fries with ketchup and then the Oreo McFlurry.
I have to tell you, I listen to Un Día probably 3 times a day. We want to play a little game called Un Día Me Gustaría. Okay. So in English, it means one day I'd like to. One day I'd like to meet.
Like really meet and talk for a long time with Rihanna.
One day I'd like to collaborate with, because you've got a long list of people you collaborated with, but I want to know who's left.
Drake.
One day I'd like to know how to cook.
Pasta. But a really good one. You know that? I mean, like, come on. Like, we know the basics, but like really like take it to another level with truffles. You know, and then we can put some meat and fries on it.
Oh, he's so funny, because we had the best conversation. And I have to tell y'all, so I actually met him a few years ago in person. I was in Miami at Swan, which is Pharrell's restaurant. And my mom is so bold. She saw him walk in, was like, Mija, I'm going to go get my picture with him. I'm like, Mom, that's J Balvin. Like, they're going to stop you. Oh, nobody is going to stop my mom from getting her photo.
No way, they are not.
By the way, can we talk about, like, the hand on the chest? Yeah.
She's not messing around.
She also told me that J Balvin is the second best smelling man in the world, only behind Emilio Estefan. I told J Balvin that. I told J Balvin, he says the best compliment anyone could pay him, because smelling good is the most important thing. He was hilarious, y'all.
The most important part of that conversation was the subtle name drop. You're like, we were at Swan, Pharrell's restaurant.
Talk about it. Talk about it, Lily.
Subtle.
Y'all know she bougie.
Do not start a bougie war with me, Victor Cruz.
You're allowed to.
I didn't know who's paying y'all's checks. I didn't know who's writing y'all's checks, because y'all got way too much money to spend. You guys, coming up, CNCO is revealing their craziest fan encounter ever. Spoiler alert, it involves an air vent and my 200-pound ass. You don't want to miss this story. Welcome back to Daily Pop. Aaron Lim, Liliana Vasquez, and Victor Cruz are joining me to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. Now, you guys, there are so many Hispanic stars taking over music, movies, and TV. So I have to ask you guys, which Latin star inspires you the most? Liliana, I'm going to go to you first.
Okay, I'm going to take you old school. Mine is La Doña María Félix. She was an incredible film star in Mexico from the 40s and the 50s. She is a true queen. Wow. She was progressive, unapologetic. Cartier did an entire collection just modeled around her beauty. She did things her own way on her own terms, turned down roles from Cecil B. DeMille when she was first starting out because she didn't want to play traditional Hispanic stereotypes in U.S. films. And yeah, she is my forever inspo. And I also got to shout out Celia Cruz también. I mean, like, hello.
You can't get a bonus. You're getting a bonus.
Yes,
a 1A and a 1B.
Oh,
I love Celia.
You can't limit my love. I'm half Puerto Rican, half Mexican.
We have the same last name. It's fine.
Can never limit your love.
Well, we can't limit your love because we only have 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, mine is obviously forever and ever Selena, first and foremost. Grew up watching the movie, listening to her music, hearing her story. But if I had to pick my inspo for today, I'm going to say Isabella Merced, young, up-and-coming, rising star. I mean, the girl is so talented. She's an actress. She's a musician. You recognize her from Dora and all of her viral music videos and TikToks. And also, people say we are twins, and I will accept that.
Okay.
Totally.
Victor Cruz, let's see if you can stick to the 30-second time.
Well, for me, it's obviously me growing up in sports and loving baseball and loving different sports. It was Roberto Clemente for me, because he epitomized what being a Puerto Rican was in the sport. He had a devastating plane crash accident that derailed the rest of his career, but the things he did as a player broke down barriers as a Puerto Rican playing the sport of baseball at the major league level. And the things he did as a player, he wasn't no slouch either. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a guy that understands the game, and he was Puerto Rican, so he's my guy.
Amazing. Well, my favorite is CNCO. And if you think you're a big fan, you won't believe what some people's children will do just to get near these guys. Take a look. What's the craziest thing a fan has ever done to try and get backstage?
There was one time she didn't get backstage, but she got in like an air vent at one of our concerts. we heard like a whisper that was whispering Sabdeh's name. And Sabdeh thought it was one of us. So like he was saying, yo, who's messing around with me?
Yeah.
And then he turned around, looked up at the air vent. There was like two girls standing there. Like, yeah, hey, you know, like
crazy
stuff. Crazy. Just to say what's up. So that was.
Definitely. And the two that stuck to the car, remember? The one that
also.
No!
Two of them just like got on the car and just
jumped like for 2 miles. We're like, yo, stop the car to the
yard. Yeah.
We are celebrating and have been celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month here at E. What's the one thing that you're most proud of your heritage?
I think just the culture in general is just so beautiful and so genuine and so loving, bro. Like, you know, and we're just so free at the end of the day too, man. That's what I love about our culture, that we don't really accommodate to anything. We just do what we do. You know, we work for what we want. We reach for that goal. We just, you know, take risks as well, you know, and that's the most honesty I could be about our culture.
I feel like you guys, Bad Bunny had this moment, you know, Maluma's had this moment, and now I feel like the next big artist or group that everybody is gonna wanna collaborate is you guys. So if you could collaborate with any global superstar out there, who would it be?
Drake.
Billie Eilish.
Bruno Mars.
We got a big list.
Yeah, baby.
Basically everybody.
Yeah, everyone wanna jump on the track.
I didn't put CNCO and Billie Eilish together. That's actually a good one.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
She's beautiful.
Music, hairstyle, everything.
I also want to collaborate with Drake, but on something different. Their new single, Bezo, is out now. You guys, still ahead. We're putting a twist on some of your favorite Latin dishes. Yes, Chef Aaron Sanchez is sharing his best recipes with us next. You guys, this may be the hardest block of my career. We are about to talk food that I can't touch, taste, or smell. So you guys went ahead. Victor's mom cooks for him every day because Victor lives with his mom. But you guys went
that
ahead and
false.
You made some of your favorite family
that
recipes.
Yes.
Before we get to Victor's mom's food that he eats every day because they live together, Aaron. What did your mom make you? Because you guys don't live together, so you have to pick it up.
Yeah, so I had to go to my mom's house. But Justin, you could smell this. This is chile verde. This is what I grew up on. My mom would make this, and oh my gosh, basically
that looks delicious.
It is pork.
So
these
good.
Are pork spare ribs that were cooked for 2 hours, marinated in a tomatillo chili broth with some Mexican rice. It's so flavorful.
What's it smell
it's
like, Justin?
Spicy.
Heaven.
All the aroma right now.
I'm telling
like,
you
really
right now. I'm telling you right now.
What's it smell like?
This commercial break, it's happening. I'm putting some Lysol on that, and we're going to get right into it. Victor. What did your roommate make for you today?
Just for clarity, I don't live with my mom, everyone, just for clarity. So my mom did make this, though. I'm not going to lie on that. This is a bacalao. I eat this. It's basically a codfish. And my mother basically, it takes a little while to cook because you have to soak it and get all the salt off the fish. And then you put it on a pan. And saute it with the white rice. Ooh. I used to eat this all the time as a kid, peeling my back off of those plastic covered couches at my grandmother's house, eating this, and it brings me back, definitely, for sure. So go get you some bacalao.
Victor.
Okay,
legal, I love that.
Legal just told me I have to correct myself. It's not Victor's mommy lives with, it's Carucci's mom that Victor lives with. Liliana,
I'm gonna eat now.
What
damn.
Do you have for us today?
I'm gonna eat now.
All right, I'm going to bring it home Jesus. For dessert. So I grew up eating conchas. This to me is comfort food. It's how I spent time with my tías and my abuelita and my mom. So these are Mexican pastries, and I actually had a bakery in LA. It's called La Llorona Bakery.
Ooh.
And look, they made custom Daily Pop conchas.
Take a bite
and
of that.
Cute.
Take a bite of that. You guys,
that
we ran out of time today, but we will have Chef Aaron Sanchez tomorrow. Aaron, Liliana, Victor, thank you guys so much. We will see you. Tarek El Moussa is joining us in studio tomorrow, 11. Don't forget it. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Hola.
Bye, everybody.
Happy Hispanic Heritage Month.
Justin, I'm going to come see you now.